All right, today I want to share some things about the abundant life that Jesus Christ has come to give us. We celebrated Easter last Sunday, or I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. And that resurrection life is not something we have to wait for. It's not something that we, you know, wait till we die and then we experience it. But it's something that Jesus Christ has made available to each and every believer once they become born again. So abundant life, what I found out, is that it can mean different things to different people. Depends on kind of what your perspective is. Kind of your vantage point is what I'm looking at. And sometimes maybe we have stuff. Maybe we have, you know, the nice house. You know, maybe we have the nice car. Good job. Have a nice family. And all the kind of money in the bank that you need. But yet, something in our life is still missing. And what I found out is the fact that no matter what we do or what we have, it's never going to be enough unless you have God. Because all those things that we accumulate or possess usually ends up possessing us, and then we never enjoy the life. We're going to look at John 10:10 here in a moment. But what we lack is the God version. You know what I mean? There's a God version to everything. There's our version. There's the world version. You know, there's maybe a Republican or Democrat version. You know what I'm saying? They look at the same thing. They see it different ways. But I want us to understand today that there's a God version. And that's that God version, when we tap into that, is when we really start to understand what abundant life's all about, being life to the full. And to me, there's life, and then there's life. And we want to get to the place where we have that abundant life. Okay, John 10:10 says, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Then Jesus is speaking here. He says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction here today, the quickening of the spirit of life, the resurrection power of God to be here. Lord, I thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage upon our lives, Lord, that we get rid of that stinking thinking, the thinking that keeps us away from the truth of God's word. And Lord, right now I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I just want to pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to ask us a question, and you don't have to raise your hand. It's an unscientific survey. But when I read that scripture, did you focus on the word abundant, or did you focus on the word life? A lot of people probably, when they say that Jesus came, that they may have it abundantly, usually we think about abundance and what that means. But really, I want us to look back and understand the idea when Jesus said, I came that they may have life. And see, that's the key. If we get that, then we get the other. But if we don't get this, we won't get the other. At least the God way, the God version. And I want the God version. I hope you do too. Okay, so the first point we're going to look at today is the idea of abundant life and what the word life means. And in this passage right here, there are several Greek words that mean life in the New Testament. And this word here is called Zoe. Zoe, Z-O-E. And the three Greek words, we're going to look at them real quick. I'm going to say what they are. Number one, some of them may be very familiar to you. The first one's bios, bios. And that's found in Luke 8:14 is one place. And it says there are anxieties and riches and pleasures of this life. Okay. The Greek word there is talking about the physical body, and is where we get the word biology. Okay? So there's the bios part of our life, and we all have that going on. Secondly is the Greek word psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E. And that's found in Matthew 16:25, and it says, whoever wants to save his soul life shall lose it. The Greek word here is talking about a psychological life of the human. And that's talking about the mind, the emotion, and the will, and it's where we get the word psychology. Now, we primarily, when we live our life, is we focus on these two probably most, sad to say. You know, we think about our body, we think about taking care of it, and you should. Then we think about our emotions, how I feel. I mean, a lot of people just live their life how they feel. Well, I feel like I'm mad today, so watch out, right? Or I feel like I'm happy today. It's okay to come around, you know? So we have those feelings, you know, that interject. But the third word here is the one that Jesus is talking about, and it's the God version of life, and that's what we have to have. It's found in John chapter 1, verse 4, as well as many other times, as well as the one we just read here earlier, John 10:10. It says, in him, meaning Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. Here, the word Zoe is the Greek word. It means to the uncreated eternal life of God. It's the divine life, and it's uniquely possessed by God. Okay, so that's the God version of life, the Zoe life. And that's what you and I need to strive to try to enter into that kind of life when Jesus came and said, I come to give you life. And we want to tap into that and how everything that in our life needs to revolve around that. Now, what about abundant life? And I want to say what abundant life is not. Abundant life is not so filthy, stinking rich that you don't need God anymore. You know what I'm saying? That's what a lot of people pray for. God, give me the numbers for the lottery or give me all these things so, God, I'll never have to ask you for anything again. That's not how God made us. God didn't make us to be independent of him. He made us to be dependent on him. And we need to remember that. So abundant life, you know, we need to get the carnal thinking of the application of the gospel out of our head. Because there's some of that going around. It's been going around for a long time where people just have a carnal idea of what abundant life's all about. If I just get more stuff or I have nicer things, I'll be happy. And, you know, if all these things are at my disposal, and I'm not saying it's good not to have to worry where your next meal's coming from. I mean, that's good. You should be there. But I don't want to say that you want to get to the place, you know, where you just have so much that it draws you away from God and lets you think that that's what God's all about, is just to get you stuff all the time. So it's not really talking about the prosperity gospel. Some of you have heard about that. You know, some people major on that, and to me, you're majoring on a minor if you're doing that. If your whole relationship about God is about getting more stuff, then you've missed it. You know, but I will say this, abundant life is not the prosperity gospel, but I want you to understand, greater prosperity will come to you if you operate your life out of the gospel. Amen. So there's a truth there. But some people major on it so much and they get out of balance, and that's the problem with a lot of us in our life. We major on a certain part of God, and then we don't have room for the rest of God in our life, and then we get in trouble. We go in one ditch or the other. But God wants to stay in the middle of the road, and that's why we need to be. Now, two kinds of people I want to mention have the most difficulty, in my opinion, my humble opinion, understanding abundant life. Number one is greedy people. Greedy people have trouble understanding abundant life because they want so much stuff, that's all their focus is on, that God, give me this, God, give me that, God, I need this, God, I need that. And so they're more focused on the things instead of God. And then the second one, which is kind of the opposite, but they're the same, is a stingy person. You know, a stingy person will not really understand the total thing of abundant life because they're lacking. And what it is, those two things really have the same root problem, lack of trust of the good shepherd. A greedy person doesn't trust the good shepherd, and a stingy person doesn't trust the good shepherd. And we're going to get into the good shepherd here in a moment. I just wanted to throw that out there, what it means to have a relationship with a shepherd. Now, we don't give to get, but I do know when we give, I will get. And that's really the balance of it. So it comes back down to our motive. Now, being rich, I want you to think about this. Being rich is not a problem. But is dying rich a problem? I don't know. Are you a hoarder? You know what I mean? So being rich, having things is not a problem. But what do we do with the things that God has given us to be entrusted to? So it's important that we sort out some of these things. And you know, I'm not saying you can't leave stuff to your kids. A couple of my kids are here today. They're saying, Dad, don't give it all away. You know what I'm saying? You know, but I do want to invest in it, invest, you know, in the future, you know, a lot of different futures. So the idea here is the idea of what is abundance. To me, when you look up the word abundance in the Greek, it says more than enough, over and above. So it's like, to me, it's like Jesus saving us from our sins would have been enough. Don't you think? Just the idea that we don't have to go to hell ought to be sort of exciting for us. So the idea that Jesus saved us from our sins and called it a day, you know, I would have said, okay, thank you, God. Praise God. But Jesus did more than that. And see, that's what abundance is. And see, that's the mindset of what we have to understand how God operates. And he did so much more. Now, a lot of you probably like pizza. I like pizza. And I'll be honest, I'm content with a single topping pizza. You know, you throw a little jalapeno on it, I'm good to go. You know, then I don't have to share. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people don't eat a jalapeno. Praise God. That's my ticket to fame, you know. That's my way. But I tell you, you know, salvation is like a single topping pizza. But Jesus gave us a meat lover's pizza. Plus a supreme pizza, all in one. He just laid on the toppings. And that's the life that you and I are supposed to be operating in here on this earth. We're supposed to be living in that abundant life. And focus on the word life, not the word abundance for a minute. I just want us to stay on life and what life's all about. You know, what is life all about? What is it that we want to enjoy? And what is it we want to experience? You know, when we have more than we need, we have abundance. So at the end of the month, when you pay your bills or whenever you pay them, and you get squared up with whoever you square up with, if you have extra, you have abundance, right? You have abundance. And so we need to change our perspective. We may not have everything we want, but as long as we have everything that we need, you know, then we start there, and then we can start to accumulate different things so that we can start to operate the principles of God and start to get into a greater depth with God. And that's what he came for us to do. Now, so the abundant life of God is ever increasing and it's never depleting. Jesus won't take that life from you. But if we stay close to him, it's ever increasing. It's like a plant. Now, I was just thinking about this the other day. I have my little pet plant and it's by the door. It's not so little anymore. Hey, that kind of rhymed, didn't it? Huh, that's cool. But anyway, this little plant started with I cut off a top of a plant because the one that we had was, we inherited from somebody, and it went crazy, you know, it started leaning, got too tall, couldn't handle it. So I snipped the top off, but I didn't plant it in dirt yet. I put it in water and let that thing grow some roots down. And I forgot about it, I just set it there and just let it grow, and all of a sudden I looked over and I remembered where I put it, and wow, all these roots, you know, there. So I put it in some dirt. And it was just this tall when it started. That thing's about that tall now, and it keeps shooting up. It's ever increasing, never depleting, because we remember to water it, and it gets the food that it needs, and it's tapped into life, and it's always going to keep growing. And that's the way that you and I need to get with our life with God. You should never go backwards. You should always go forwards with God. You should always be growing in the things of God, staying connected to God, and let your roots go down deep, so that you can grow and be able to shoot up and be a, you know, I'm proud of that plant. I know pride's supposed to be a sin a little bit, but I mean, I don't think pride and a plant just, I mean, I'm just amazed at how it just keeps sprouting up. Just new life all the time just keeps coming out of that plant. And I believe that's what it's supposed to be for the life of a Christian, just new things, excuse me, coming out of us all the time. Now, Jesus said, you know, that we need to have a full and complete life. Now, it's not materially all the time, but it's spiritually. That's where it needs to start, with that spiritual growth. And when Jesus said, I come that they may have life, you know, we need to stop right there. We need to pause and meditate. Now, the idea of the world system. Has anybody ever told you this? I've been told this before. Get a life. Why don't you just get a life? Well, God says get life. You don't need to get a life. You just need to get life. See, we need to get God to get a life. And when I got God, I got a life. My life changed. the new life came, just birthed out inside of me. And it totally changed the way that I operate and the way that I function. And Zoe life is not the life that Jesus came to make us a better person. No, Jesus came to put this resurrection life, this new life inside of us. It's a life that you and I can't control. It's a life that you and I cannot contain. It's the life of God. And when we start to flow with God and let God take control of our life, we start to experience things in our life we never thought. I never thought I would do half of the things that I've done with God. But when I got the life of God inside of me, it totally changed me. See, I call it the high life. See, in the old days, I was in the high life sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But see, I like to call it the high life and not the low life. See, I used to be a low life until I got Jesus and I got the high life. And I get to walk in that life. And his name's Jesus. But you and I probably make the mistake where we spend most of our time, not all the time, worrying about the bios and the psuche. And that's what we need to be careful about, is not doing that. So abundant life is being in the right field at the right time, following the shepherd. And that's what we're leading to here. Because God, I believe, revealed some things to me, the idea of the shepherd-sheep relationship on how that pertains to abundant life and what God wants to do for us. Because most of us are very independent people. We don't think we need any other people in our life, that we can achieve it on our own with our own strength and our own power, right? But God has revealed some things, you know, in this passage that we're going to be looking at of how this really works. So how do we apply the abundant life before we get into the next shepherd part? Is the idea is we need to be a better steward. So we start with the practical things. Be a better steward of what God's given you. You know, be a conduit and not just a container. Let God flow through you and not just to you. See, we get the idea, bless me, bless me, bless me. But the reason why we're blessed is to be a blessing, and we can lose sight of that. So abundant life is when we stop living our life and we start living his life. And when we live the abundant life, I like to call it a synchronized life. Now, I've been out of sync before. You know, I've tried to do different things. I'm pushing, I'm striving, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to make it happen. You know what I'm saying? But when I start to rest in Jesus Christ and I start to get close to my shepherd and I take my role on as the sheep and let him lead me, things start to get synchronized in my life. And things start to flow the way that they're supposed to flow. And I get into a new place with him. But it comes by us trying to enhance that relationship. So abundant life is not living independent of, but dependent on the good shepherd. Now, I want to read this passage. It's a little longer. John 10 verses 1 to 12. And I think we need to look at this, because I could easily just pick out John 10, 10 and call it a day. But I think we really need to see what Jesus was trying to frame in the minds of his followers. Okay, so it's John 10 verses 1 to 12. Jesus started off saying, truly, truly. You know, when Jesus says truly, is truly, you know what I'm saying? Yes. Truly, truly means, hey, check this part out. I'm trying to get something through to you. Okay. Truly, truly, I say to you, he does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way. He is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and then the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, come on, check this out. Pay attention. Get this. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Okay, that passage goes on a little farther, but that I think we got the point. So now we're going to look at the idea of the good shepherd versus the counterfeit shepherds. Okay, so the good shepherd versus the counterfeit shepherds. Now, this picture is of a sheepfold. Many of you maybe can picture this. It was an enclosed area with an open roof, no roof over it, and it was really stones put around, and there was only one way in and only one way out. And so at night, a lot of times, the shepherds would bring their sheep and put them in the sheepfold. And so there'd be multiple flocks inside this enclosure. All the sheep would just be all mixed in together, you know. And they did, I assume, so the shepherds would get a little bit of rest. No, you got the lions and, you know, the bears, you know, David talked about, and you got the wolf out there and different things. And they're going to come in and try to kill the sheep and eat them, you know. And so they devised this plan, and this is how it worked out. So they would put the sheep in there, and then they had a guy that was called the doorkeeper. Now, the doorkeeper had to stay up at night, evidently he had the night watch, and he stayed there, and he watched and made sure that no wolf would try to come in to harm the sheep, because that was his responsibility, and that was what he was supposed to do. Now, what would happen sometimes is that it talks also about another player in this, and that's called the counterfeit. The counterfeit person comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, we blame the devil for that, but contextually, this is really talking about the Pharisees and the false teachers. But everybody knows that they were under satanic anointing, right? The devil was using the Pharisees, bringing the lies and all these things and hurting the sheep and putting the sheep in bondage. So these were people, you know, that were all also in this story. And the Pharisees really only had their own interests at heart. And the sad thing is there is some people in the body of Christ that do have their own interests at heart. They don't really care about the people. They just care about themselves, and that's just the way it is. So what they can give instead of what they can, or what they can get instead of what they can give, is kind of how they looked at it. So they was trying to get out. Now, how I look at it as a shepherd, it's what we give is an investment. You know, we invest in the people that follow us, and so we consider that an investment when we give. So really, these Pharisees were the false shepherds. Now, it said not to come through the door, but sneak in another way. And there's some false teachers out there. I mean, we're at a time in our life, especially with the technology that we have, false teachers can really do a lot of damage. They're on YouTube. They're on internet, a lot of places, a lot of various locations. And they're trying to fleece the flock, trying to get out of the flock what they can get to feed and to take care of their own carnal needs. So you have to be discerning. You have to be wise about what it is that you number one, submit your life to and where you're getting your revelation. Also, you know, these people are not appointed by God, but they're appointed by man or self-appointed. You know, if you have a microphone, you can appoint yourself to do anything. And a camera. You know what I'm saying? You have a smartphone, you could go all around the world and mess a lot of people up or help a lot of people. Just depends what you're trying to do there. So what there were is really hirelings. We call them hirelings. You know, there's a difference between a pastor and a hireling. You know, a hireling, you know, they're just working for wages. You know what I'm saying? They don't have an investment in the sheep. They don't care about the sheep. You know, they're there. You know, and if the doorkeeper was a hireling and the wolf's coming and he don't really care about the sheep, he's going to run. He's going to leave. And see, there's a lot of people sometimes that get into ministry, and if they don't have the right heart and the right attitude, they're a hireling. And they don't have the right attitude towards the sheep and how they want to tend to the sheep and to be able to protect the sheep. Because a true shepherd, it says, will lay down his life for the sheep. And that's just the way it is. And if you're not willing to lay your life down and live a sacrificial life, You are not called to the ministry. Simple as that. You are not called to the ministry if you are not willing to live a sacrificial life. Drop the mic. And there's a lot of people like that. And we need to be careful because it can lead us astray. But the true shepherd is a little different deal. See, the shepherd we read about in the Old Testament and really is called the royal caretaker of God's people. That's what they called him. And, you know, even in the Old Testament, there was leaders that were just in it for themselves and things like that. And the prophets, you know, warned against them, told about them, called them false teachers, false shepherds. Excuse me, how they get in trouble with people and with God especially. And they won't really lay down their life. So the traits of a true shepherd, I'm just going to breeze right through this. Number one, a true shepherd needs to be faithful and trustworthy. That's what you got to look at in your shepherd. Are they faithful and are they trustworthy? Number two, they got to be sacrificial. You know, it can't just be all about them. Now, I do know this. There's a lot of pastors that, you know, maybe lay down too much. You know what I'm saying? They need to man up or woman up and be a leader, not a follower afraid of people. So there's a balance there. But you got to be able to sacrifice. Number three, you got to be a provider. You know, in the sense, you got to be able to provide for the sheep and take care of the sheep. You got to be a protector. You got to lay down your life. You got to maybe make the hard call sometime to be able to speak into somebody's life. You can't be afraid to be able to tell somebody the truth, because truth will protect people. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people like to hear the truth, but it still needs to be told. And lastly, they need to be a visionary and not just reactional. What I mean by that, the shepherd needs to look ahead to see where to lead the sheep. You wouldn't want to follow a shepherd leading you out in the desert now, would you? Even if it was a shortcut? Come on. I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to go out in the desert where there ain't no water or nothing to eat. No. You got to follow somebody that can see ahead and kind of see what's coming. Okay. I want to get to this part now, which I believe will open up the idea of what abundant life is, on how you and I can really tap into that abundant life. And this topic of it is the shepherd-sheep relationship. That's the kind of relationship, number one, I want to make sure I clarify this. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. And for me in my role now, I am an under-shepherd. That's my job. I am not the good shepherd. I'm a halfway decent shepherd. I'm not a great shepherd. I'm not even a good shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd, and I will say that. But I do what I can with what I got. You know what I'm saying? And I think I do halfway decent. So the idea here is understanding the dynamic of your relationship to me, but most of all, read into your relationship with Jesus Christ. But I will say this. If you consider yourself a Christian, you are a sheep, and you need to have a shepherd in this world, not just when you get to heaven. You know, there's some sheep wandering around out there that won't follow a shepherd. And you wonder why they're all messed up all the time. Because they won't let nobody speak into their life. I have a shepherd. We each need a shepherd. And that's just the way God worked it out. So, first idea here is the shepherd's voice. Like I mentioned when I explained the sheepfold, there was multiple herds of sheep inside this enclosure. Now, when I was a kid, we were cattle people, like you've always heard me say. And when we were going to move the cattle out of a pen, if we could call them till our face turned blue. And for the most part, they wouldn't come. We had to go in and get behind them and shoosh them out of there. You know what I mean? We had to drive them. But this is a totally different dynamic of a relationship. The sheep-shepherd relationship is where the shepherd would stand at the gate and he would call his sheep out by name. Remember, there's multiple herds in there, but only his sheep would come out. The rest of the sheep stayed in the enclosure. Why? That wasn't their shepherd. They wouldn't follow the voice of a stranger. And so you and I need to be smart enough not to follow the voice of a stranger. Have you ever heard the old saying, stranger danger? Hey, we tell little kids that, but there is that. There is that for our spiritual life too. Stranger danger. You know, so you need to make sure that you only follow the voice of the shepherd. And I'll tell you, when I sit down to pray, every time, you know, I say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you're my good shepherd, and I only follow your voice, and I will not follow the voice of a stranger. More times than not, I always pray that prayer to myself. Because how many people hear things when they pray? You know what I'm saying? What I mean by hearing things, they're not hearing from God. They're hearing from the stranger. And they get into stranger danger. So you need to bind that up and believe God that just the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you and lead you and guide you. So only the sheep, I mean, I think it'd be kind of a, I've never been able to see this happen. You know, I've never, like I say, we're cattle people. But, you know, be able to watch that when the shepherd just stands there at the gate and calls his sheep and just a few of them come out and then the shepherd takes off and the sheep's just following him right behind him. Just following where they need to go. You know? And to me, you know, that's a powerful witness of the idea of the shepherd, the shepherd-sheep relationship. Because there are many voices in this world beckoning us, and we need to be real careful. And shepherds, number one, need to earn the right to speak into your life. You know, and that they should have some credibility in their life. Like I shouldn't tell you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. You know what I mean? Or have not done. That's important. And you need to make sure you get that kind of ciphered out and sorted out in your life. And when the shepherd called him out from the bunch and took off, it wasn't just to go out and get some exercise. The shepherd was calling them out of something to take them to something. And that's what we need to know. God is calling us out of something and taking us to something. He was taking them to a place where they could eat, where they could partake of nourishment. And see, that's a spiritual aspect of what God wants to do in our life. He wants to lead us to something, and that's what I want to do in your life. I want to lead you to something. And then the idea of the shepherd's care, that's under the leadership idea. And then the shepherd's care. You know, it's the idea of a symbiotic relationship. You know, I'll be honest, a shepherd needs sheep. You know, I like that old saying. I told this to somebody out front the other day. Oh, I know, yeah. They're sitting here today, they might remember it. I said, John Maxwell, in some of his books, he said, if you think you're leading and nobody's following, you're only taking a walk. You know what I mean? But a shepherd needs the sheep to follow you. I need you for multiple reasons, you know? Because number one, I experience a deeper level of God in my life because of you. Because in the calling that God has on my life as a shepherd, He gives me certain abilities and different things that I wouldn't need if I didn't have you. Because I wouldn't need to tap into that potential there. So it helps me experience God in a deeper way, and I thank you for that. So I need you, but also the sheep needs a shepherd. Like I said, Jesus is the good shepherd, and I'm an under-shepherd. Now, we all need a shepherd. I found out if you don't have a shepherd, you get out of sync in your life, or it's an unprotected or no covering. See, the people out there that won't submit to a shepherd, what I mean by submit, that's some people get all really intense on that. It doesn't mean I tell you where to live or, you know, all these things. I mean, I try to stay in my lane, you know what I'm saying? You know, I stay in my lane. I tell you, just kind of stay with the Word for the most part. Hopefully I'm 99%. Everything I tell you is in the Word. I might tell you a few illustrations in my own life, but you know, the idea of, you know, being able to speak into your life, but I don't want to tell you who to marry. I may tell you not to marry somebody. I've done that before, you know, and usually I'm right, you know, because I can see on the horizon, you know, what's going to happen, you know. But, you know, the idea of being able to speak into your life. But I don't want to control you. I don't have access to your bank accounts or your car titles or anything like that. That's not my role. My role is to feed you spiritually and to be able to get you to go to a position of maturity so that when you make these decisions, you can make them alone. If you want some ideas to bounce off me, praise God, I'm there. But number one, I don't want the responsibility, you know, out of my lane. You know what I'm saying? I don't want the control over your life where you're so dependent on me you can't think. That would exhaust me. My goal is to grow people up to be able to hear from God on their own. Cut out the middleman. You know what I'm saying? I'm the middleman. You don't need the middleman. But you do need a middleman to speak into your life sometimes. So we all need a shepherd to fill out a sheep. And, you know, and there's that spiritual covering of protection that comes. You know, when a sheep have a shepherd, the shepherd is there to beat back the wolf and to try to do things. Now, I know I'm not God. I don't know everything that's going on in your lives and things like that. But I do know that my responsibility is I got you covered. That's my responsibility to cover your protection spiritually through prayer and through different means. It's my responsibility to do that because that's what my role is. And I need to walk in that role. You know, in the same token, you know, that, you know, we're in this together and we need to fight that good fight. Now, when you sit under my teaching, you know, my goal is to bring revelation knowledge to you. And see, that's how it feeds your soul. Yes, you need to read the Bible on your own. I can't give you everything you need in 30 plus minutes a week. You know, I'm good, but I know I'm not that good, praise God. I know my place, you know. But the idea of, you know, being able to speak into your life and, you know, when the shepherd leads you to the pasture, and see, your pasture that I'm leading you to, a place of eating, is when we break the Word of God open together and to be able to dissect it, shall we say, and find out how we can apply it and be able to approach it in our life. And when you do that, when you come to this place, you know, and you put a demand on my anointing, the anointing that God's given me, it's not my talent, it's not my gift or anything I've developed. There's a gifting that God has put inside of me. Just same He's put these giftings inside of you. You have different giftings, whatever they may be. But I do know this, when you put a demand on the gift or the anointing inside of me, you know, God will use that and draw things out because you come expecting, I need to be fed today. I want to have something spiritually given to me. And see, that's your role when you come to church, is that you need to put a demand on the gift, whoever it is, standing up here saying, I want what they have. I want it. I want to be fed. And if you come expecting, God will deliver. He will. Because the Holy Ghost is here, and He can take what I say and bring it home to you because you have an expectancy to receive from God. Now, if sometimes you just come just because it's time to come, you know, a lot of times you don't get as much out of it. You know, am I being real or what? That's how it works. You know, I've been in there half-hearted in my life. I was able, when I first got saved, the Lord led me to, you know, a place where I went to Bible school, and Marilyn Hickey was a teacher, and her husband would trade off weeks or however it worked. Marilyn has a worldwide ministry, worldwide. People would just flock to come hear her speak. And then Pastor Wally. Now, Pastor Wally was a shepherd. And I say this with full truth. I'm not making this up. I would receive as much from Pastor Wally as I would Sister Marilyn. Because Pastor Wally was my pastor. Marilyn wasn't my pastor. She was a teacher. So her approach to the gospel was a little bit different than Pastor Wally's. I'll be honest, Pastor Wally, he went to be with the Lord now. You know, sometimes he would ramble a little bit and go off on different things, but he was always led by the Spirit. And he would always bring some truth to you. And it really frustrated me, and I've shared this before, that people would know when Marilyn was preaching and the church would be full, and when Pastor Wally would preach, there may not be as few people there. You know, and I thought, you could tell who the false sheep were. They didn't want to hear from the shepherd. They wanted to have their ears tickled. They just wanted to hear something new. And they missed out on the whole purpose of what church is all about. And I don't want us to miss out on that. Because I do know this, you know, God bless Pastor Wally. He would speak into your life, and what happened is you felt safe. You felt secure. Because with that anointing, that shepherd's anointing that was on his life, he was able to bring that to my life. And I was just a baby Christian, just starting out. And that is something I could really tell the difference in my own walk. So we need to put a demand. When I go to hear a special speaker, different things, I just don't go in just to take the day off. You know what I'm saying? When I go, I want to hear. I take notes. I write stuff down. And I go there and I put a demand on that anointing. I want what they have. You could spend 10 or 12 hours a week studying to get what I give you in 30 or 40 minutes. You do the math. Right? So if you want to put that extra time in, praise God. Or you can pay attention, amen? Amen. It don't take much to pay attention. Oh, I got off base here a little bit. I'm back now. Okay, we're going to wrap it up here. So abundant life is the higher quality of life because it's the life that Jesus Christ came to give. So to me, that abundant life boils down to a healthy sheep-shepherd relationship. Hear the shepherd, follow the shepherd, obey the shepherd's instruction. And when we do that, we always need to remember that we need to be dependent on the good shepherd and not independent of him. So to me, this kind of brought in context to what Jesus was saying about abundant life. You cannot have abundant life aside from a shepherd-sheep relationship. Let's pray.